I think that y'all need to wear name tags. Okay? I've already asked a bunch of y'all's names that I've asked before, and I've already forgotten what you told me. So it's a thing of old age, I think. Anyway, it is such a joy to be with you. You know, I begin every year, or every time I come here, the same way, and that's by saying thank you. And I will never say that enough, okay? I will never be able to convey to you how grateful I am for what you've done, both for my family as far as your personal support and then for many other ways that you've supported this work. And like I said, I'm just grateful. I'm going to show you two slides, first two, and Roy's in trouble if these don't work. We're going to show you two videos. Okay, these are videos that I took on the back of a motorcycle. Okay, they call them machines, and I'm taking with my iPhone. Okay, and we're going to see if this works. Okay, now you may be saying, aren't you on the wrong side of the road? So, now Linda will tell you that I'm a very efficient person. And like if we go to Walmart, we'll have a list and I'll say, okay, you go down this row and I'll get this, you go, I'll go down here and I'll meet you at the other end. And so I have a very efficient driver, as you can see. We're making really good time. I've had people ask me, aren't you afraid? And the answer is no. Seriously. And the answer comes up in two words, track record. Okay, I've ridden with these guys and ridden with these guys. These are the greatest. These guys become closer to an object without touching it than anybody I've ever known. Okay, now, you ever driven in Dallas? HOV lanes are wonderful. HOV lanes are wonderful. Okay, in Cameroon, we have HOV lanes for machines. Now, we would call them medians, okay? But they are HOV lanes. And so you can see that we're just blowing down the road. Look at those poor slobs in the car. I mean, those guys are getting over. Listen, hey, Douala, this is taken in Douala. Douala's bigger than Dallas, okay? If you want to get anywhere in Douala, you ride on a machine. I don't ride taxis. I do not ride taxis unless I'm just absolutely forced to. Anyway, I thought you'd enjoy that. Now I know y'all want to go to Africa just so you can ride a machine. Okay, we're going to talk about a number of things this morning. First of all, we're going to talk about our seminar that we held this past February. This was our 17th seminar. I know I've told you about this before. The seminar's aim is to train church leaders. We trained about 290 on this last seminar. Chris Lowe, the tall guy there, he's an elder at the Cloverdale Church of Christ in Searcy. This was his third trip to Cameroon. Me twice on campaign. This was the first time I'm teaching seminar. Louise Clement, this lives in Lubbock. This was her fourth trip to Cameroon. And this was my 73rd trip to Africa. It was my 50th to Cameroon, and I made 23 to Ghana. Each year in the seminar, we have them fill out a form to critique us. Here are just five of literally hundreds of responses. I just want to go through these very quickly. The seminar is helpful because it prepares the leaders and future leaders for a brighter future. One thing you're going to hear from me this morning several times is future. That's what we're looking at in Cameroon. I'm not interested, well, that's an overstatement. My primary interest is not tomorrow or the next trip or even a year from now or 5 years. It is the next generation. It is two generations from now. It is after I'm gone, okay? We want the church in Cameroon to be independent of us. Now, they're not now, okay? And it ain't going to happen anytime soon. But that's the direction we're headed. I love the class of Sister Louise because she helps the sisters grow in their faith. Let me tell you why I put that one up there. We had many of the comments that said, I love the way she teaches. I love the way what she's doing. She's helping them learn to better teach children. And there were many quotes like, you know, Sister Louise helped us teach the kids better, and I like that. But I love this one because faith, now think about this, I don't care who you are, your faith is the limiter in your life. You cannot give more money than your faith will allow. You cannot do work than your faith will allow. Your faith, it controls everything. If you have great faith, you'll do great things. If you have small faith, you'll do small things. You cannot do great things with small faith. It's impossible. And in Cameron, and I know I've told you this, but I'm assuming that at least some of you are like me, that you can't remember yesterday either. And so I don't expect you to remember everything that I've ever said. Women in Africa are not second-class citizens. They're not, I don't know how far down the food chain you have to go before you find one, okay? African men believe that men are smarter than women, which shows how dumb they are, okay? But they really believe that. If a man and woman get married and 3 years later there's no children, the woman's infertile. There's no such thing as an infertile African man in their mind, okay? Okay. And so one of the things that we've been doing through the sister classes is really working to help these sisters understand, guess what? You are as important as men. Men are more important. They have different roles. I understand that. Number three, Chris helped me leave the field of legalism and the field of love. There's a high level of dogmatism in the church in Cameroon. And Chris's class was on love in the sense of the love of God for us, the love of God for mankind, the love that we're to have for one another, which brings me to number four. The seminar has promoted spiritual maturity and has helped us to better manage conflicts. Well, let me explain this. Each year during the seminar, I will sit down and interview usually around 20 preachers. I have a bunch of questions for them and stuff like that. And one of the guys this year told me that in the past, I know I've told you this before, but once again, I don't expect you to remember what I say. There are 210 churches in Cameroon, 210 congregations. Two have elders. Two out of 210. And so all the other churches do business meetings, which that's okay. And this preacher was telling me that in the past, their business meetings would always end up in fights. Not fist fights, but verbal fights. And the term they use is shouting on one another. And they do that quite prolifically. And he told me that the seminar, it's not simply this seminar, but all the seminars as a whole have really helped them. He says, we don't do that anymore. Now, we still disagree. Hey, in a group this size, if we were to look at a particular text, we're not all going to agree on everything. The elders here don't agree on everything. I assume that. I would be shocked if they do. When I was at Sunset, we had 17 elders. One of them was one of our teachers, and he said, boys, he said, we have some real fights. Once we come to a decision, then we're united. But not even two people are going to agree on everything. So I really like number four. Number five, we've learned to be united in love so that unbelievers will copy our way. That's a pretty good thing to do. Okay. What are we doing now? Okay. Here's just a picture in Douala. I have a picture in Kumba, not in this presentation. Kumba is English. Douala is French. The Kumba picture will be literally three times this size. Okay. Simply because the English side has far more churches, far more leaders, far more everything. But anyway, that's the brethren in Douala this year. Okay, here's the sisters' class in Douala. The sisters love Jim. The reason why they love Jim is Jim gives them candy every day. They're like little kids. I mean, really. And Jim buys them coats. And they meet. You can't tell here, obviously. This is on the staircase of a hotel. Because where the men meet at John Claude's congregation, there's not enough space for the women. And so we rent an air-conditioned hotel room for them. The men have come in and said, Jim, just one day, let us have, you should one day let us have those. I said, no. No. I put you in there, beautiful full rank. Those ladies will never see that class again. They'll say, how come you buy them candy and cokes? You don't buy us candy and cokes. Because I like them better, that's why. Yeah. That's what I tell them, okay? Now, I think the guys kind of like me. The girls love me. Here, okay, this is a panoramic picture I took in Cuma. Pictures worth a thousand words, I understand that. Being there is worth a thousand pictures. It's hard to tell. This is where the sisters meet in Cuma. This is a parlor of a sister in Christ. That day that picture was taken, there were but over here, well, over the far left back, there's a cubby hole.
There's about 30 more legs.
And then, also, okay, you see over here, you can see the window right here, you can see where the window is. Outside, there's another 20 ladies on the veranda, okay? And so they get in tight. The only place we can rent there is like $250 a day. And so we really don't, I think we're going to keep doing this for a while anyway. Let me talk about the Brethren from the North. Okay, in the United States, you know this, as far as numbers regarding the church is numerically strongest in the South, right? You go to the North, you go to North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, just go anywhere across the top. Few churches, they're small churches. I mean, you might travel, you know, miles and miles and miles and miles and miles, you know, before you find a congregation, okay?
Numerically,
church strongest in the South. That's true in Cameroon, too. I mean, it's just a coincidence, but that's true there, too. If you were to go home and get out or Google it or look at a map of Cameroon and just cut it in half, okay, the vast, I'm talking about 90%. Of the members are in the South. Okay, these guys and gals, what we've done, this was, I think, our fourth year to do this. To come from the North where they live, they take a 4-hour bus ride followed by a 14-hour train ride followed by a 4-hour bus ride.
That's to get to us.
The round trip costs about $135 per person. Okay, now, to you and me, $135, man, I'm not saying that's no money, but you know, that's not a killer to an American. You know, $135. If you're an African, if you're a third world person, $135 is prohibitive. And you might say, okay, I understand that, but surely the congregation, no. I mean, they've got congregations that where their weekly contribution is, you know, $6 in American money. And so what I've been able to do for the last 4 years is get churches like y'all. In fact, y'all have helped in this, where we fund for these guys and gals to come down from the North so that when they go back, they can train and work with the churches where they're from. And listen, let me tell you something. They are so grateful to you. Man, I'm not joking. They really are. Because I don't know how to quantify it. I don't know how to compare it. $135 to them would be like if I gave you, you know, $25,000. My guess is if I get $25,000, you'd probably smile. That'd be my guess, okay? If you give me $25,000, I guarantee I'll smile. I'll write you a thank you note on top of that. So just put that in your brain if you need to remember that, okay? And I'll take more than $25. I'll take less, too. Okay. What do we got next? Okay. Now we're switching gears. And let me say this very, very quickly. I am aware that from report to report, there's not a whole lot of things. And here's why. What we're doing right now is working, okay? And
I want to fine-tune it. I want to do it well. For example,
you go now, of course, school is about fixing in. But let's go back to September. And you've got your little kids in first grade. And they're learning 2+2 and stuff like that. Well, today, those little kids, they're not studying algebra, right? They're not studying them. Because learning is a slow growth proposition, right? And it takes a lot of repetition and things of that nature. And so what I do, I look at what we're doing. When things don't work, I stop it. And I try something new, you know? And so anyway, this is one thing we're doing, working with villages. Now, the guys here, far left, his name is Jacob. He preaches for church in Baimania. The next guy's name is Surplus. I've had a lot of people say, Surplus, where'd he get the name? I said, ask his parents. I don't know. But if you can see Surplus, there ain't a lot of Surplus to Surplus. Okay? He's a little guy. He preaches for the church in Missouri. The guy kneeling, his name is Henry. He preaches for the church in Munyengi. Forget the guy in the middle now. I'm going to come back to him. The tall guy then, his name is Jerry. That's a good African name, right? Jerry preaches for a church in Pete Bikunda. And I'll tell you about the other guy in just a minute. Let me tell you about the four preachers first. Number one, they're not full-time preachers. They're farmers. Okay? What they do is on Saturday, they go to their village, and they'll either evangelize or visit backsliders, teach the church, disciple, whatever they need. On Sunday, they'll teach Bible class. They'll preach. Henry, the guy kneeling, in a recent report, he told me that he has two guys in his congregation who have an aptitude for teaching, and so he's letting them teach, and then he will critique them, and he's helping them develop their abilities to put sermons together, Bible class lessons together. Okay, Solomon is the guy in the middle, and the guy on the far right, his name is Vincent. And they are good brothers who basically are helping me. They send reports via email to me. They handle the money. I wire money from here to our bank in Guala, then John Claude is in control of that, and they get the money. These guys, all we pay is transport and like $5 a week. They're not getting rich. They're doing this because they love the Lord. And here's the mentality behind this work. Okay, the village church is like the rural church in America. Okay? Most rural churches aren't growing. That's just the nature of small towns. You know that. I know that. You know, Ferris doesn't exist now. The church in Ferris doesn't exist. In Cameroon, you have the same situation. The kids, if they want to go to college, they gotta leave. There's no college in the village. If they want to go to a trade school, anything of that nature, if they want a job, unless they want to be a farmer with dad, and some of them do, but unless that's their thing, they gotta hit the road. And so my thought process on village work is not the big people. I like big people, okay? But I know I mentioned the little people. That if we can raise a generation of youngsters who love Jesus, okay, when they leave the village and go to the big city, guess what? The kingdom still grows, doesn't it? The kingdom is not diminished in any way. We also have a village work with sisters. These are French girls, Pauline, Giselle, Linda, Nadege, and Mary. There's two others that I don't have in there. I'll pop this up now. Talk about this. Diana Victorine. Let me tell you about Diana very, very, very quickly. I probably told you about her before, but every year her story gets more amazing. Diana is about 58, something like that. She's a widow with one child of her own, you know, grown child. She has an orphanage. Now, when you and I think of orphanage, we think of what we would see in America.
It's her house.
Two years ago, she had 23 kids. And that's what I thought. Well, it's going to get better. Hold on. Last year, she had 35. This year, she has 45.
I don't know where she puts them.
I've been in her house. Okay? She's got
two bedrooms with four bunk beds. And I'm sure they sleep two to a bunk for sure, maybe three, on their age. And then she has a pretty good-sized parlor. And she has her own bedroom.
She's an incredible woman, and she, what were we looking for, coordinates these sisters who go out, and what they do, they go out on a Saturday,
they do a seminar on Saturday and Sunday,
and teaching sisters of theirs how to teach kids. What they will do is they will go to a congregation that's, you know, decent sized town with villages out around it, and they will all come together, okay? My initial plan had been
we'll go two times. We'll have an initial seminar,
we'll wait about 6 months,
and go back for follow-up.
And I was talking to the ladies one day, and I said, the second follow-up, you let them know you're coming. They said, no, that's not a good idea. I said, well, the second trip, we need to come unannounced. They can't know we're coming. If they know we're coming, they'll gussy up. Hey, many years ago, I'm talking about many years ago. Yeah, gussy up, that's a good acronym term, isn't it?
I worked for Fox Theaters. And in Wichita, Kansas, where I grew up, I ran the North Street Theater. And when we knew the general manager was coming, holy moly, did we clean. I mean, when that guy came in, we had a pristine theater, okay?
And so the lady said, no, Jim, we can't do that. We got to come on in. I said, okay, no problem. I've been so pleased. Now, I'm not naive, neither are you.
You're never going to have 100%.
I mean, tell you what we found.
On the second trip,
roughly 75%. They have Bible class. It's growing. The teachers are doing a good job. I mean, we're really happy about it. Because once again, we're looking at the future. We're looking at the future. Those little kids aren't going to be elders tomorrow. I know that. They're not going to be preachers tomorrow. That's not the issue. The issue is what are they going to be 20 years from now? What's the church going to look like 20 years from now? And so what they're doing, it is really a valuable, valuable work. And once again, we pay their transport, and that's it. The local church houses them, feeds them. And so the financial output that we do for both the men and the sisters is fairly nominal. Right? It runs like $200 a month, which is not, we're covering a lot of ground for that amount of money. Okay, let me talk about Noble Age. I'm going to go ahead and just pop up the whole thing. Okay, we have written, when I say we, a bunch of us, four curriculums for Sunday school. And they go by the title of Noble Age. So we have Noble Age 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Noble Age 1 through 4 are all for kids, little kids. We're in the process right now of writing Noble Age 5, which is our first teen curriculum. I know I've told you this before.
Cameroon is like
15 million people. 40% of the population is under 15 years of age. Now, what we're doing, we have 30 lessons we're writing. We have a whole section on the Old Testament, 6 lessons on the Old Testament. We're going to do a lot of foundation before we ever get to believe, repent, confess, be baptized. You know, my experience in the church in America is too often our goal in evangelism has been get them in the water and then go on to someone else. We've not laid good foundation. Afterwards, we've not continued to disciple them as Jesus told us to in Matthew 28. And so that's why we have so many people who are baptized, but they don't remain faithful. They may come to church, but they're not truly faithful. And so we're going to have a lot of foundation. We're going to have several lessons on the life of Christ, on the teachings of Jesus, before we ever get to the plan of salvation. Now, we will get to the plan of salvation. And then we've got like 10 lessons after they're baptized. Hey, listen, now you're in the family, there's some stuff you got to do to grow in your faith. Well, anyway, the goal, number two, is dedicated lives. That's what we're after.
The goal is not how many people we baptize.
It's how many people can we help give their life to Jesus. Now, Tom is Tom Kim. He's the youth minister at Buckingham Road where Linda and I worship. And he's setting up the teachers on this side. Louis, his name's Louis Basai. He's going to be the finalist. Now, here's why this is working. Okay. When
his guys
get their lessons, they'll send them to me. I will edit them. I know Cameroon
more than they do,
because none of them have ever been to Cameroon. That doesn't mean I'm a hot shot,
but I know a little bit more. And I may know, okay, this is a good illustration. This will work out. I'll do whatever I have to do.
Louie is going to head up on the other side of the ocean, and he's still running. Okay? Now, when his guys write their stuff, he'll look at it, he'll do what he needs to do, then he'll send it to me, primarily to me for grammar. A Noble Age 4 has 60 lessons. And Louie had emailed me well over a year ago. He said, Jim, could you edit all of those for the grammar? And so I emailed him back. I said, I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this? I'll do 15. Louise will do 15. You do 15. And Linda, his wife, do 15. Okay, no problem. So I do my 15. Louise emails me, I can't open up the attack. I can't open it. Okay, so I did her 15. Okay, now, I'm getting where I think we're about ready to, start this thing up. So I emailed him and said, you got your stuff. No, he emails back and said, could you do it? So I did all 60. The reason why Louie will be the final editor is he's the Cameroonian. We want this material to speak to the Cameroonian children, the teenagers, not to the American mind. But anyway, pray for that, okay? Really pray for that. Okay, let me share with you very quickly what we're trying to do. Three goals I want to share with you of this ministry. Number one, give them a vision of independence. And this is not going to be easy. The African mind says we need the American. Okay? And as long, we've all heard, perception is reality, and that's true. If I believe I can't do something, I won't try it, and therefore I will fulfill what I said. I can't do it. Okay, and this isn't going to happen overnight. That's why I keep talking about the future. We're trying to work with the little people as well as the big people. The old people, and the average life expectancy in Cameroon is 53. Now, I'm 65. I know I look 45, but I'm 65. And so I'm an old man in Cameroon, okay? As I've gotten older, I feel more comfortable ragging on old people, okay? Because I are one, okay? And old people, have you ever noticed that those of us who are old, we're more set in our ways? We're less likely to change? And we've got, my dad, I was talking to, who was I talking to? It wasn't Bonnie. I was talking to somebody before services. I doesn't matter who I was talking to. About my dad. Oh, it was Gene. It was Gene. I got a little bit of memory. Okay, it took me a while. But anyway, my dad, I love my dad. Okay, he died in 1999. My dad was so hard-headed. If this was not sheetrock, if this was a brick wall and you went to tear it down, just have him knock his head against a couple times, just go down. I mean, that's my dad. And I understand, we've got some old guys in Cameroon, they're locked in to what they believe, and we're not going to unlock them. And okay, I can handle that. I love them, okay? I love them. But I know that the change is going to come with the young people. And the old people, they think they have to have Jim. I know that's not true. They think they need Jim. Number two, trained leaders are Christ-focused. The key word there is Christ. Once again, in Cameroon, too often, they have been focused more on doctrine. Hey, I'm all for sound doctrine, okay? We need to teach the truth, okay? But last time I checked, Jesus is the one who died on the cross. The last time I checked, he is our Savior. He is our Lord. He's our Master. He's the one we're to emulate, okay? And so we want to help them become, that is, the leaders. Hey, listen. Generally speaking, members will never go beyond the leaders. Now, there are exceptions to that. Biblically, Revelation 3, Sardis. Sardis was a dead church. The Bible says so, right? Jesus said they were a dead church. But Jesus says in that dead church there were some who would walk with him in white, right? So in this dead church, there were a few faithful. But if you looked at Sardis as a whole, it's a dead church, okay? And so if we want the church in Cameroon to grow, it's going to start with the leaders. Yeah, that's true anywhere. That's not Africa. That's the world. Developed future generations. That's what this ministry is all about.
It really is.
It is what, you know, hey, none of us know if we'll be alive tomorrow, right? I mean, that's just the reality. Louie told me in February, he said, Jim, you know, with your health, because I feel really great. He said, with your health, you ought to be able to keep working here for another 20 years. Okay, 85. Now, I've never been 85. Don't know what I'll feel when I'm 85, if I'm alive, you know. How much energy will I have? I don't know the answer to that, okay? But you see, I understand the key to the growth of the church in Cameroon is not Jim Corner. It's Louis Bessay and Jean-Claude and Vincent and so on. I can name a bunch of names that mean nothing to you, but the Cameroonians. Just like here, y'all could have a gospel meeting.
I was talking with somebody again before services.
I led singing for y'all for Andrew Connolly in a meeting for Johnny Ramsey. Well, I gotta tell you this real quick. Johnny, yeah, I love Johnny. After the meeting, he gave me a tie, you know, just as a gift. His ugliest tie. No, I'm not joking. His ugliest tie I ever made. He kind of liked it. I wouldn't have been caught dead in that tie. Well, I might have been caught dead in that tie. I wouldn't have been caught alive in that tie, okay? And so I took that tie to Ghana, and I gave it to a brother over there, and he loved it. Because he had no taste, okay? Anyway, that had nothing to do with nothing. But at any rate, we're looking down the line. Okay. This can be rather presumptuous, right? I'm going to tell you about the next 30 years. And I've just told you, I don't know if I'm going to be alive tomorrow. Here's what I hopefully see. Next, three things. Number one, Christ-like members. This goes back to number two on the previous page. If we can get Christ, if we can train leaders who are Christ-like, then the members are more likely. Once again, you're never going to have 100%. You know, I know that, you know that. But every time you get one more brother, one more sister who's Christ-like, the church grows stronger, right? And that's what we're after. Number two, I really want to talk about this for just a minute. Members who reason the scripture. You know what? You and I sometimes, and we're right when we say this, but we'll talk about our denomination friends. Well, they just believe what they believe because their priest or pastor or preacher said it. And that's true. Guess what? That's true for a lot of us. Hey, listen, I've been preaching for a long time, and I've been a member of the church all my life. And a lot of our members, their faith is based on what, like the preacher said, mom, dad said, whatever. And if you say, okay, is this right?
Yes,
it's right. No, it's not right. Okay, hand them the Bible.
Why?
You might as well hand them, who knows, anybody. They don't know. We want members over there who are thinking for themselves. You know, as a teacher, okay, when you're a teacher of little kids can't reason, okay? That's why, little kids, you do 2 plus 2 equals 4. In Bible class, you say about Jonah, you know, swallowed by a big fish, you know, God said go that way, he went that way, and you tell the story. It's a cool story. But Jonah is a really cool story for big people. You know what? There's some really good stuff in there, but it's for bigger people. Okay, and so you read, okay, what can we learn, for example, from Jonah? And so we want to help the brethren over there learn to reason for themselves. And number three, mature shepherds. I told you 2 out of 2 10 are 2 congregations out of 210 have elders right now. My hope, and I believe this. Now, you know, obviously I'm doing guesswork. You know, no one knows the future. I understand. But I'm hoping within 30 years we will have at least half the congregation.
And I think that's
a realistic.
Now,
they're thinking that way too. Last year, not this February, but February of 2014,
my class was on 2
Thanksgiving, but primarily at the leadership.
And there are more and more congregations
there who really see, you know, we need shepherds. And so, you know, that's where we're headed, hopefully. Ephesians 2, or 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light. You know, whether you're in Crandall, Texas, Garland, Texas, Cameroon, We live in a dark world, right? I don't care where you go, you live in a dark world. And
if Jesus says in Matthew 5,
we're to be salt and light, right? And in fact, he will say in John chapter 8 that you are the light of the world, right?
He'll also say he's the light of the world. Yeah. But
we're to manifest his light, and that's what we're trying to do. Now, once again, take Crandall. And I'm not, this isn't a newsflash. You're never going to reach everybody in Crandall. The day will never come where every person in Crandall, Texas, is a member of the Lord's Church. That's never going to happen. Any more than will happen in Garfield, Texas, or Texas. Everybody you approach with the gospel, they're not all going to say, hey, yeah, I'd like to hear about it. Or I'm going to jump on board. I know that. You know that. But what our goal is to show the light of Jesus as much as possible to make as big an impact as possible. If you're interested in knowing more about this work, you can go to our website, CameroonForChrist.org. The website there has the history of this work, what we hope to accomplish in the future. There's a bunch of junk that I use in a very loving way. Linda's always telling me I shouldn't say junk like that, but I do. It's just, I don't know. But anyway, go to our website, and it'll tell you a bunch of stuff you need to know. I end the way I began. I do this every time. And I have to. It's only right to say thank you. You remember when Jesus healed the 10 lepers? And you know, they come and say, you know, heal us. And he says, well, go show yourselves to the priest. And on the way, they're healed. And one of them
came back and said,
thank you. You remember what Jesus said? He said, maybe my mind, my memory's going bad. Maybe I'm like Jim Corner. I thought I did 10. Now, obviously, that isn't exactly what he said. But he did say, weren't there 10? And only one has come back to say thank you. We need to learn to say thank you. And I'm grateful for this congregation. You guys have no idea how thankful I am. And I can tell time, and we're done.